Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. So tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Good morning, my friends. It's good to be with you on our streaming service this Sunday morning on the 27th. The slight unreality of Christmas, notwithstanding, here we are once again. I hope you had a good Christmas. Obviously, this year, not ideal circumstances. That's why, obviously, we're still meeting like this via a streamed service rather than being able to be together in the building. And obviously, with the changes in restrictions that have come in as of Boxing Day, we're not going to be able to meet in the building for a little while to come until the tiers are hopefully relaxed again. So there will be a streaming service next week from the church, but you won't be able to book in. You'll just be able to watch it from online as we are now. So I hope you'll join us for that, as I hope many of you are joining me now. I feel kind of all by myself in my little room at home. The guitars have got in the festive mood, but you know, that's about it. That's as Christmas as it gets in here. We're going to share communion in a little while. So if you haven't yet got a little bit of bread or a biscuit or something like that, and some wine or juice or some alternative so that we can participate in that together, then please do scurry away and go and grab that if you'd like to join me as we take communion together. But first of all, I've got a bit of a treat for you. A friend of mine, Mike Sherburn, he's a Baptist minister. I trained with him at Spurgeon's, and he's the minister of Watchit Baptist Church. And I did an interview with him that we put on our YouTube channel about 6 months ago. Mike's got a gift for words. He's a poet. He does some really interesting spoken word stuff. And he's done one for Christmas that he said that we can share on our streaming service this morning. So I'm going to hand you over to Mike and his Christmas reflections.
What do you want to know? It's Christmas, the season of twinkle, the time of year for movie reruns and Santa sleigh runs and cracker joker dodgy puns. It comes around again and again, like the chimes of Big Ben. Does anyone ever ask why? As baubles seem to multiply and traditions are trotted out like a tatty old school tie, are we asking questions of this hardy perennial? Perhaps you have some questions for the season, some reasons you want to know beyond the present giving, quid pro quo, beyond the grotto and the hope of snow, the TV variety show and the ho ho ho. Do you want to know about rejoicing? The twinkle lit sight and delight of boys with unwrapped toys, the shining eyed girls twirling in excitement in the bright lights of the tree, the toddler all chubbly and grubbly after their first real Christmas dinner, the bubbly, the cuddly aunt from Dudley, family, friends, the stocking fodder odds and ends, or another kind of rejoicing, the unwashed, undesirable outsider shepherds shouting, the unexpected, uninvited, probably bearded foreign stranger bowing. They who came to praise and came to worship because they just knew this newborn was no forlorn lost soul, but was saviour and king for the whole of the world. Do you want to know about a promise? An I'll be home for Christmas guarantee. A decorating routine with mince pies and tea, surrounded by tradition. Karaoke off-key renditions of White Christmas and a sing-song of Nat King Cole and Mariah and the Darkness by the fire. A litany of idiosyncrasy from the family tree. Or another kind of promise. The pledge to make things right. The one who started it all making that call. A wholehearted assurance that it will not always be night. That delight would come and peace. The weapons of war destined for burning, a new light to come and flood the world. Do you want to know about hope? The old man's unfounded, self-convincing voice in the endless silence that says this year his estranged children will surround him with tenderness. The girl's wincing half-dream that this festive togetherness would end this time in her boyfriend's drunken slumber, not an off-his-head, no-use rumbled vow of love to be followed by the dread and fear of careless abuse. An almost buried longing that the unnamed anguish of childhood trauma might be emptied of shame and replaced by belonging to something, someone, somewhere. Or another kind of hope. For justice, for fondness for the loveless and forgotten, a world adjusted to reverse the roughness of pain and a bucket of cold water on the false flame of unfairness. For a wonderful counsellor, a true father, one who stands with the dispossessed, one who was born in Bethlehem and brings freedom for the oppressed, the distressed and detested. The determination of the Lord will accomplish this. Do you want to know about a baby? The mid-labour phone calls, the moment of truth, news announced by text, the arrival of the next gasping, squealing ball of humanity, the coos and the ahs, and standing in tears in awe of the courage that flooded fear. Smiles of midwives as they make notes in medical files, while the angelical nose of the newborn wrinkles to sprinkle around fresh chuckles of which he knows little as he keenly suckles. Or another kind of baby, born in a barnish place, no sign of varnish or lace, no carpet, just graceless cattle. A newborn king, news announced by angels, a placeless boy child soon exiled. This baby, this refugee forced to flee to the ancient enemy, this is Jesus, carried to safety by those who loved him. This chased away saviour, Christ the Lord, God with us on the road. Helpless and yet the one who will help his people. In need of rescue and yet the one who will save his people. So much like us and yet so much greater than us. Do you want to know about a man? A spruced up, souped up, sleigh wielding saint, big white bearding his way from somewhere near Norway to the world. Reindeer unfurled, curly hair in place and flying with all grace down countless chimneys, singing Christmassy hymnlies, or maybe another kind of man. The grown up with God, is God, life light of all mankind for you. His birth a signpost to the goodness and godness of a heavenly Father for you. Jesus, not the baby, but the man. The grown-up whose humanity is something like insanity. For God to become one of us? What is with that? But make no fuss, that is the very guts of it. God as humanity, beginning and end, from minus to plus, no ifs and no buts. The baby grown and known as a man of God, who healed and made whole, who appealed to mankind through mercy, who revealed God, courted controversy, and who made it his goal to reconcile, to reconnect, to stockpile the bottomless pit of unquitting kindness, to forgive and to give second chance after second chance after second chance in response to our dance with the devil. Jesus, who revels in his role as the sole provider of a clean soul, who releases us from our meanness, our slander, and our retaliation, who grants liberation for the imperfect, the henpecked, the self-neglecting and disrespecting. For you, this man whose one plan was a lifespan of love in attendance, a message of acceptance and an invitation to be in his presence, to lead us, to feed us with good things, to give us wings to soar and the keys to the only door that matters, to leave the mess and wrecks and tatters of our spluttering clutter in the gutter, to bring forgiveness for you. Jesus, he is the opposite of vanity. He is smarter than urbanity, more inspiring than musicality, with limitless capacity, greater than nationality and bigger than Christianity. He came for you.
Wonderful. Thank you once again. That's my friend Mike, who is a top chap. We're going to be moving into a time of communion now. So I hope you've got some juice or some wine or something similar, and some bread or similar ready to take with us. And communion obviously is a time where the clue is in the name, isn't it? It's all about community. It's all about being together. It's about being one. As we once again today, as we have been so many times in the year, we are not able to share this meal as one family, as one body of people gathered together in one building. And that's difficult, that's hard. And I think these are the times where we're really forced to dig deep into our relationship with Jesus and our knowledge of the Holy Spirit, because in the Holy Spirit in Christ's spirit within us, we are one. We are always one. We have brothers and sisters stretched out around this world that we will never meet, that we will never bump into, but we are one church, one flesh, one spirit, as Paul writes, because of what he has done for us and what he has given to us. And we have brothers and sisters stretched out through time, from hundreds of years, thousands of years before, and hopefully hundreds of years and thousands of years into the future. We are one family, we are one people, we are part of that great cloud of witnesses gathered around the throne. Now, of course, we want to incarnate this, we want to put this into flesh. And that's the task that we've been given in our time and in our place. As the Shore Church in Bognor in 2020 and into 2021, that's our task and that's what we're going to be. But I reflected, I was listening to Lectio 365, I don't know if any of you use that app, listening to that this morning, and a couple of times they've referred to Bernard of Clairvaux, who was the founder of the Cistercian Order, and one of his sayings, which is that Christ comes in three ways. He comes to us as a baby in a manger, as a human being, Jesus Christ. He comes to us at the end of the age when this whole thing is wrapped up and God will be all in all. And he also comes to us in everyone who believes in every single day. And I love that image of that Jesus comes. Yes, we think of Jesus coming in the manger. We've been celebrating that over Christmas. And we think of Jesus maybe coming again at the end of the age, but also recognizing that Jesus comes in every single one of us, every single day, as we are enlivened, as we are filled with his Holy Spirit. And so it's in that spirit I want us to share this communion now. If you take your bread or whatever you're using instead of bread, and we break it, remembering that Jesus's body was broken for us, that he has done in his flesh absolutely everything that was needed to do for us to have healing and wholeness, and most importantly, new relationship with the Father, new life in the Holy Spirit. And we take the wine as well, or the juice, which is representative of Jesus's blood, the blood that was shed for us in that same way, but also the blood in which he said that new covenant was sealed. So I'm going to dip my bread in the cup, or you can take them separately, and just take a couple of moments of quiet to reflect on his sacrifice and his promise to us now. Amen. Well, we had the opportunity just very recently to be community as we gathered round for our light procession and carols outside the church just a week ago. And Herrick's prepared this video just as a few reflections and memories of that time. So as we continue to reflect in our communion time, let's just watch these images and listen to this music. Brilliant. Thank you, Herrick, for doing that again. And yes, Claire, Pringles are absolutely fine. I'm just getting that message coming through. I've once done communion with a caramel wafer and a bottle of Fruits of the Forest Oasis from the service station, because that was all one of my friends could lay their hands on. So yeah, the important thing is the symbolism of the meal, not exactly what we eat or drink. This is the time of the service where, once again, we would normally be passing around the offering baskets, and the details for giving are on our website. And you can also give through other things such as Smile at Amazon or Easy Fundraising, different ways you can give. If that's how you, if you're part of our community, if you're just surfing in now and you've not really part of our community, you're just checking things out, then please don't feel any compulsion to give. But if this is part of your worship, if you are part of our community, then there are various really handy and tax efficient ways as well that you can help support the work that we do. Now, once again, Richard has prepared a word for us to this Sunday morning. It's a shorter sort of Christmas message, but really fantastic. I know it's really going to bless you. So I'm going to hand over to Richard now with the word for today.
Well, happy Christmas to those I haven't been able to say that to personally. And I pray for a wonderful and much better new year for us all. Thank you for allowing me to share your Christmas. I do appreciate you taking the time to zoom in on God's Word of Hope at the end of what has been a very strange year. Well, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And no, it isn't a train. Although in 2020, that's pretty much what we've come to expect. It's a year I think all of us will be glad to forget. Although hopefully we will learn some lessons and perhaps revisit some of our priorities and actually make some use out of what has been a difficult and sometimes very, very hard year to get through. Well, Christmas has come and we've enjoyed ourselves. I hope you have. And I'd like to reflect back on how Christmas fits into the whole of life, especially after a year like we've just had. Now, we have become used to peace and at least relative security in my lifetime. Although it's never been guaranteed, there have been tragic lapses and tragic events that have happened. Mostly, peace has been the backdrop of our lives in these generations. I have to say that is actually historically an aberration. There was a cheerful chap called Thomas Hobbes who in the 17th century wrote these very descriptive words: "What is worst of all, continual fear, danger of violent death, and the life of man is solitary, poor, nasty, brutish and short." But that happily isn't the whole story. Christmas still has something to say to us, to our world, because it's precisely into this kind of gloomy world described by Hobbes that God spoke a living word. Hundreds of years before, a prophet named Isaiah said this: "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." Now, Isaiah spoke to give hope to the northern and southern kingdoms, Israel and Judah. They were facing the prospect of exile and times were difficult. And into their lives, he spoke a word of hope that focused on a light in darkness and the gift of a child. As so often in the prophets, these words had an immediate meaning for Israel, but there is also a blessing and a hope to come. And that is why we read these words from Isaiah at Christmas. It's been a year where we've been walking in darkness. God is shining a great light. Because it's the Sunday between Christmas and the New Year, and we're all, well, spending time hopefully with whatever family or friends we've been able to gather with. We've been eating and drinking and enjoying ourselves, And probably you don't really want a half-hour sermon going into all the fine detail of exactly what we could discover from the words of Isaiah. So with that as a backdrop, I'm going to take three simple points, moving into the Gospel of Luke to look at how the Christmas narrative unfolds. In Luke 1 and Luke chapter 2, you might like to read it again, just to remind yourself of what's in there. Have you noticed how often the words, "do not be afraid," crop up? First to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Faithful, old, childless. And yet an angel appears and tells Zechariah not to be afraid, because he is going to be the parent of a son. And he and Elizabeth are the parents of John the Baptist, who comes to foretell the coming of Christ. It must have been a shock for them, and probably quite scary. Then there's Joseph, who was to be the husband of Mary, a faithful man, described as a righteous man. One of the words, part of the meaning of that word, is socially responsible. He was a man who lived God's ways in society. He was responsible to God and his fellow man. He lived the righteous life. And he was willing to keep Mary, despite the pregnancy and despite what people undoubtedly were saying. "Do not be afraid, Joseph. This is of God." Mary, a young girl, innocent, devoted to God, willing to serve, worshipful. Those wonderful words of her song of praise, well, they're just marvellous, aren't they? But her life was about to be turned upside down. Nothing would be the same. "Do not be afraid, Mary. What is conceived in you is of the Holy Spirit." Well, a few months down the road, Joseph and Mary have had to travel to Bethlehem, and on the night where the baby is due to be born, we find a group of shepherds outside on the hills with their sheep. I don't know if you've ever been out at night, out in the real countryside, but it's so quiet apart from the occasional owl and the scurrying of noises, and, well, perhaps for them, the occasional bleating of sheep. And then suddenly, an angel appears. There's a blinding light, and these words, "Do not be afraid. Go to Bethlehem, and you will see a child who has been born, the saviour of the world." These men, shocked, living in isolation, terrified, but willing to go, willing to believe, willing to trust. Because there is joy in the darkness. I continue reading from Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7 say this: "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Those were words that Isaiah spoke to a people who perhaps didn't believe and trust. But at Christmas, we celebrate the moment when a youthful Mary and a courageous Joseph in Bethlehem shared together in the birthing process of the Son of God. Jesus was born. The starlight and the angels announced the light of the world. Joy in the darkness. One of my favourite carols has these wonderful words, you know, little town of Bethlehem. In your dark streets shines the everlasting light. And another carol that I know is Juliet's favourite and one of mine too. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Joy in the darkness. And meanwhile, in the palaces of the rich and the powerful, Herod is plotting to murder the newborn king. One of the darkest moments of history, when a dictator, a tyrant, is prepared to stack up his own throne on the bodies of innocent babies. The darkness in which the light shines. Now, we are living in a dark time. COVID is lurking. Things change day by day. Politics, frankly, is shameful. Poverty is spreading. But there is still joy in the darkness now as then, because Christ is born. I never get tired of Christmas. I know it's not the whole gospel, but without it, well, what would life be? In the darkness, the light shines. Christ is born. I'd like to finish with a very short tribute to some obscure but faithful believers, two of whom are named by Luke, a man called Simeon and a woman called Anna. In accordance with the law, Jesus is taken to be presented to the Lord. And in doing this, Luke is confirming that everything that was done in the birth and the early life of Jesus was in line with the law and the writings and the prophets of old. This is not something brand new and unexpected, but something foretold, something promised, and now fulfilled. Now, Simeon has been living on a promise. He was promised he would see the Lord's Messiah before he died, and he held on to that hope of salvation. And that day, God delivered. Jesus, this baby, is presented, and Simeon, through the Holy Spirit, understands the promise is fulfilled. Can I just say, don't give up on promises. God is faithful. God will do what he says, and he will fulfill his word. Anna, a lovely old lady, she's been serving wholeheartedly. She's in her 80s. And you know what? She is the one who responds to the birth of Jesus by telling everybody who was looking forward to redemption. What an attitude! The promise is fulfilled. Jesus has come. The Messiah is born. All of you who believe and trust, God has given his word of redemption. This is Christmas. At the end of a grotty year and on a day of promises. Simeon and Anna. God used these two people. We know virtually nothing else about them. But they were faithful, and God was faithful, and the promise was fulfilled. So when Isaiah says the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, that applies to this Christmas, to 2020, and the new year we call 2021. Whatever it holds, God holds it. And the promises of God are trustworthy and true. I'm going to finish just by reading verse 2 from Isaiah 9 from the Message translation, just because of the words that finish it. It says this: the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Well, yeah, we get that. For those who lived in a land of deep shadows, light, sunbursts of light. This is what he's foretold and what he's fulfilled at Christmas. I hope you can celebrate with me today the coming of Christ as the light of the world and the hope of the future. The Lord has come, and the Lord is with us. May God's blessing be on us all as we face the new year in his love. Amen.
Thank you, Richard. What a wonderful word, a lovely bringing together of all the themes and the truths of Christmas, but also in a way that just propels us forward into mission and into being the salt and the light of the world. So thanks again, Richard, for doing that. It'd be really good if we now pray that into ourselves and pray ahead into the months and the weeks and the year to come. Just invite God's Spirit to guide us as a church, as a body of believers, as a community, as part of our wider community and nation. So let's pray. Father, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us as a people, that we would know you in a deeper and more powerful way this year than we ever have before, Lord. Will you take us to a deeper place? Will you enrich us, Lord, with your truth and with your life? And Lord, whatever has passed before, Lord, we give you thanks for the year that has gone by. As bizarre as that might sound, Lord, every day that you give us is a gift, even though those gifts can be hard to sometimes unwrap. Lord, you give us life, you give us experiences, Lord, and some of those things are hard. We go through suffering, we may have walked through the valley of shadow several times. Maybe the whole year has felt like a valley of shadow, Lord, but it's in those places, as we've shared recently, that the light shines most brightly, that the hope becomes most tangible, and that we have the opportunity to grow in courage, in resilience, in depth, Lord, and in wisdom. And as your word promises, Lord, if we ask for wisdom, then you give without finding fault. So, Lord, we ask to be wise. We ask to learn the lessons of 2020, Lord, to be changed, to be renewed, to have our eyes opened, Lord, if they were in any way closed, Lord. We pray that we wouldn't miss what you have been teaching us. And Lord, most importantly, that we would then be able to apply those lessons and that wisdom to whatever the next year has for us, Lord. Give us wisdom, give us courage, give us strength, give us hope, Lord, as we've been talking much about. Not just a shallow optimism, Lord, but a deep hope that changes lives, that changes the fabric of reality. Lord, a hope that reaches and aspires to and enacts a new way of being human, a new heaven and a new earth, Lord. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done. And may we be the people that you call us to be, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, amen, and thank you for taking the time to connect with us live this morning, or if you're watching this on catch up later, then God bless you as well. That's wonderful too. I'm going to close out now with one of the carols that Richard just referenced, Joy to the World, which Hannah was kind enough to record a couple of days ago at home. So I'll just leave you with Hannah and Joy to the World, and with my blessings for the rest of 2020 and the new year into 2021. God bless you.